Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
I want to talk to you this morning under a heading of what's in a name. What's in a name? If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew, the very first chapter, so that's going to be easy to find. First book of the New Testament, first chapter. Won't take you long to find that. How many of you had one of those DNA tests for ancestry, you know, the DNA ancestry test? Let me see. Come on. There's nothing wrong with it, so you can actually acknowledge it. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, a couple of years ago, my kids or my wife or somebody got one of those for me, and it's quite interesting, actually. sometimes you discover things that you didn't realize. Sharon discovered that her grandmother wasn't really her grandmother. By blood, their whole life, they thought that she was her grandmother and came to find out she really wasn't. They also found out that they had a half-sister out there that they didn't know, and so they've hooked up with her. And hey, after all these years, found brand new family members. It's incredible. So yeah, I don't know. Some people are afraid of it. They don't want the Russians to know what their DNA is, I guess, or something like that. I have too many things to think about than to worry over those kinds of things. One of the things in doing mine, and I don't know, 23andMe, I think, was the one that I did, but I get back all these different facts about my heritage. It was quite fascinating. Kind of gave me a different thought about my name, and I actually got hooked up and found a book of McKee's, if you will, that had been printed and gave me even more information. So I'm going to start off this morning telling you a little bit about my name. My name is Reverend William Edward McKee Jr. That's my handle. You know me as Pastor Bill or Hey You. The Reverend part came from my calling and obedience to that calling and then recognition of that calling by the Assemblies of God. So it becomes a title, but it is part of my legal name. The origin of my name, both first and last, is Northern Irish and Scottish. It's a variant of McKay, M-C-K-A-Y, which is anglicized form of a Gaelic Mac Aoda. It's kind of like I'm Oda. For those Star Wars people. It originates from Son of Aoda, an ancient personal name meaning fire. So that's my last name. Looking in the ancestry things, one of the fascinations was the number of Williams that were present. My grandparents did not have DNA tests. They didn't have any of their history. My grandpa had brothers, and he had no idea where his brothers were at. So I run into McKee's sometimes, and they say, you know, I wonder if we're related. I say, I have no idea, because my grandpa had five brothers, but he lost track of them early on in life and had no idea where they were at. Point being that when he named my dad William, there was no thought of ancestry. And yet William and Robert are two of the most common names for McKee. As a matter of fact, the very first person who came to Ellis Island back in 1799 was named Robert. The second person who came in was William. So that's kind of my heritage. You say, I don't care. That's okay, because I'm speaking and I do. To me, it's fascinating to find out these things. I just thought I got my name from my dad. And if you talk to my mom, that's probably what she would say. If you were able to talk to my grandparents, they would confirm that they just liked the name of Robert and William. And yet, it had been used over and over and over and over again throughout generations of the McKees. Isn't that fascinating? Just say yes. It'll make me feel good. There we go. Thank you. Sometimes it's tough, Jim. It really is. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus, Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. That doesn't happen a lot, church. That's what we here call a miracle. Okay, just thought I'd mention it. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Verse 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Father, help us this morning as we look into what's in the name, the name of Jesus. Guide us this morning by your Holy Spirit. Help us, O Lord, for these few moments to get past the last week and get out of the way of the week that's coming, and be in this moment to let you minister to our lives. In Jesus' name. The etymology of the name Jesus, Isua, masculine proper noun, transliterated from the Hebrew Yeshua. Joseph, or Jehovah, his help, is what it means. Jehovah, his help, or salvation. Jehovah, his salvation. That's the reason why Jesus equals Savior. I want you to understand this morning, and maybe I was thinking of this all day yesterday. I was thinking, oh, Lord, I wish that I was a better preacher. Those of you that do it, you know what I'm talking about, because the subject matter is so important and so powerful and so glorious that I feel like that my words are not sufficient to actually express the reality that is in this name of Jesus. What's in this name? This powerful, incredible name. Understand this. This wasn't an accident. Again, in Matthew 20, he says, "You are to give him," the angel of the Lord says, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You're to give him that name. In Luke 1:31, he was called Jesus by the angel to Mary. The Lord was not taking any chances. He spoke to Joseph. He came to Mary and he said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." So, Matthew 1:25. "But he had no union with her," that's Joseph, "until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." So the angel told Mary and Joseph, "Call him Jesus." When he was born, they called him Jesus. Isn't obedience something? What if they would have said, "No, we want to call him John"? Or if Joseph would have said, "Well, I know that he is not my blood, but I want him to be called Joseph." They were obedient. because there's power, life, healing in the name of Jesus. When he was circumcised and officially named in Luke 2:21, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now, if you'll hear that this morning, there's a powerful, powerful message in there for us. He received the name before he was conceived. Are you in there? We need to understand that babies don't just happen. The Lord has plans. God knows. He knew Jesus before he was conceived and gave him his name because he knew that the name would be so necessary and needed for our lives. You may not realize how much you need the name of Jesus. I pray that something that I say this morning might take hold inside of you to realize what is in Jesus' name for you and for me. First of all, there's life in Jesus' name. Oh, I wish I still had the voice that I had some years ago to where there's a song that says just that. There is life, real life in Jesus' name. There's cleansing and healing in Jesus' name. Ah! In John chapter 20, verse 29, then Jesus told him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, John says. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. You and I have life everlasting in the name of Jesus. Now, his official title, I told you my title that I received when I became ordained through the Assemblies of God. Jesus' official title is Christ. You may have heard it called Messiah. The word means anointed one. He is the anointed one. He is the one that God has chosen, called out from among men and anointed him, as Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Right? Remember that from Isaiah and from the words of Jesus in Nazareth? Surprised everybody in the synagogue that had watched him grow up. But you see, he had an ordination that came from God and was given the title, if you will, of Christ. 300 passages, Jesus is called Christ in the scripture. 300. 100 passages call him Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. 50 passages call him Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to the resurrection, it seems that he was designated Jesus Christ. After the resurrection, that title reversed of Christ Jesus. So his title was earned. Now I can tell you this morning that if you want to be reverent, you can go online and for just a very few simple bucks, you too can have reverend before your name. There are people doing it all the time. You can purchase it right online for just a very few bucks, and you can be reverend whatever. However, that does not speak to the ordination of the Lord. There are many messiahs, many who will come proclaiming that they are the Christ. Jesus told us that, Paul told us that, and John tells us that. Many will come proclaiming that they are the Christ. They are the anointed one. But there's only one. born in Bethlehem, named by God the Father. And he earned. Remember when John the Baptist sent word? He said, ask him, is he the one or should we expect another? Remember what Jesus said? Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The deaf ears are open. The lame are walking and the gospel is being preached. Why? Why does that make a difference? Because John was a man who was under the anointing of God. John was a man who had been called of God to be a forebearer of the Messiah. And Jesus knew that if John made a connection to the things that he was expecting of the Messiah, he would know that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Many people know and use the name of Jesus. Singers who do not know him personally, have never accepted him as Savior, sing his name all the time. Speakers invoke his name whenever it's politically or otherwise convenient for them. Others use it as an expletive when they're wanting to give it emphasis. They use his title. Come on, you've heard it. I don't know about you, but when someone uses Jesus Christ as their expletive, it runs through me. Because, see, I know what's in this name. If you're in this house this morning and you use his name as an expletive or as an emphasis to your anger or whatever, I encourage you, get to know the name. Get to know Jesus, and you will drop that very quickly because there is something in his name that is so life-changing. Oh, the life that flows from the name. Luke says it, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to the nations. There's something about it. When the name of Jesus is glorified, when his name is presented as the pathway to salvation, that something happens in the hearts and in the minds of individuals that causes them to bow before that name and give their lives over to him. And when they do, life begins to flow. I've preached a lot of funerals in my years of ministry. I can tell you there is a difference when the person knew the Lord. Though we know that that body has been vacated and the spirit has gone into the presence of the Lord, there is a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference because we know, well, Jesus said they're asleep. Just waiting for the day for the life flow once again by the name of Jesus. Oh. How many have somebody on the other side that you're looking forward to seeing? Know Jesus. Know Jesus. It will not come by your hopes or your desires. It will come through your relationship with the life giver. You want to be absolutely certain that you're going to be in heaven one day to greet your loved ones? Know Jesus. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. That'll almost make a 2020 Christian shout. Listen to how Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Just in those verses alone, we have the path to a relationship with Jesus that assures us life beyond what this body can perform. In him was life. John starts off his book. In him was life. And that life is the light of the world. Can you imagine? Just contemplate with me for a moment. What this world is going to be like when the rapture of the church, that is, all those who know the name, who believe in the salvation through that name, when they are taken out of this world, can you imagine what this world is going to be like without the light of Jesus shining out through the believers? You think it's difficult now? You haven't seen anything yet. You know, let me tell you about the second thing about his name. His name's healing. I said his name is healing. The promise, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. This is Peter preaching after he had touched. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And what happened? The man went walking and leaping and praising God through the temple. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. In Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can see. So it is the invoking of that name, but also in the faith that goes along with that. Believing that there is power in the name of Jesus brings healing. Just like you, I have to take a responsibility in all of this. I know Jesus. I know the name of Jesus. I know the power in the name of Jesus for healing. But my humanity gets in the way when it comes to the faith that I could walk in. I want you to know that there is a place of faith that you can walk in, that invoking the name and the powerful healing power of Jesus, healings occur. There's no other formula, folks. There's no other gizmo. There's no other working in this except that the power in the name of Jesus to heal. Amen, brother. Listen to this. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the midst of them. When Jesus is in the house, church, things happen. I said, when Jesus is in the house, things happen. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, speak in new tongues, take up deadly snakes with their hands, drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. It's interesting to me that as we make our attempts at believing in the power of Jesus' name to heal, and it does not happen, we blame him. Or else we go berserk and stop praying for people, period. Because, well, I don't have the faith. It didn't happen this time. Let me tell you something, folks. He didn't put us in charge of the result. He put us in charge of praying for the sick. He said, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, who will anoint them with oil. And the prayer offered in faith will save the sick, and the Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord will raise them up. Don't get confused. There's no power in you. The power is in Jesus. So if you pray for the sick and they don't get well, dig in to know Jesus more. It's only the enemy that will turn us away from Jesus. We have the invitation. Hey, now listen. The same Jesus that we are believing to save us and get us to heaven is the same Jesus who caused us to believe that he would heal as we prayed for people in his name. Isn't it interesting that we will rest in faith for our salvation and question whether or not he will heal? And you say, well, you know, I'm disturbed by this, Pastor. I'm disturbed by this. Because I realize that my own humanity and everything that I've seen and everything that I've known have got in the way of my prayers. I believe that Jesus is the healer. But it is bringing it to bear at that moment where I am praying in faith over an individual that all the clouds and all the stuff start getting in the way. But I want to tell you this morning that there is a possibility that exists here, church. Please hear me. There's healing in the name of Jesus. And as you and I find that place of rest in faith, we can begin to see miracles happen. These signs shall follow them that. Why don't you say it louder? These signs shall follow them that. Yes. There's the complete equation. The power is in Jesus and in his name. The equation for our lives is believe. Oh, listen to the result. I love this. In Acts chapter 3, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. And here, taking him by the hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. We want to touch our world? How many want to touch our world? We need to begin to walk in the power and the healing of Jesus' name. Let me finish this. And that is, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is life. There is healing. There is power. Power to save? Absolutely. Power to heal? Praise God, yes. Well, you know what? Before I move on, I would like for everybody in here this morning that has experienced a healing in your body through the power of Jesus. You know that the Lord has touched you. I'd like for you to stand to your feet. Praise God. Look around you, church. See, this isn't a testament that was written 2,000 years ago. This is a testament that is standing right here in this place today. Jesus heals.
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah. Thank you for helping me preach this morning. You may be seated. His name becomes a force in ministry. Listen to this. Acts chapter 16, verse 18. Finally, Paul became so troubled. There was a girl that kept speaking out about Jesus, and she was speaking by demonic spirits. And he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. That name is powerful in the mouth of a believer. Because you can speak to the spirit of darkness and command it to leave a person, and that spirit has to leave. Listen to this one. In Acts 21, 13, Paul said, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart?" Agabus had come and wrapped his hands up and prophesied to the apostle Paul. He said, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound just like this, and you're going to be led away. Paul's response, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Can I tell you this morning, his name is a seal of safety. John 17, Jesus said, "I will remain in this world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." You see, our rallying point, the strength, the security, the safety of our lives are found in the name of Jesus. Many of you can testify to this. At moments of great terror or struggle, the name that comes to your lips is the name of Jesus. Wave at me if that's been the case in your life. Hallelujah. It may come out, "Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus." As a sound of desperation, as a sound of, "Oh my goodness, but Lord Jesus, I know that you are the one that can protect me or my children. My kids are running from the Lord, but I can pray over them. Lord Jesus, watch over them as they're walking as fools in this world, denying the power of your name. Keep them safe." Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to know the name. Revelation 22 and 3. "No longer will there be any curse." This is at the end. "The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face." And listen to this. "His name will be on their foreheads." Whew. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning that when God came down to earth to bring salvation to mankind, he could have come as some brand new creature. It was within his capability. He's Creator God. And it was some creature that was actually created just for the occasion. Because see, it was his justice that had to be fulfilled. He could have demanded anything. He demanded blood. And blood of sacrifices here on this earth were not enough. And so God sent his son. Since his justice and his glory that mankind had rejected in the garden, God could have purchased redemption by his own standard. However, he chose to come as a man and to take on the name of a man. But think of it. He took an ordinary name and turned it into a living, healing, powerful name. The proclamation by the angel only gave the signal. Jesus perfected the name and gave it glory. When we get to heaven, we the redeemed are going to get a new name from the Lord. He says that nobody will know but you and him. I want to tell you something this morning that there's a lot in the name. There's a lot in your name. He knows your name. Do you know his? Oh, I don't mean the way the world does. I mean, do you know him as a life? Your life? Paul said it like this, in him I live and move and have my being. I don't know about you folks, but I'm finding that to be more and more relevant all the time. Lord has given me various assignments throughout the years, so no place anymore feels like home. I'm starting to be like Abraham, a wanderer. Jim, you probably feel this as well. You say, well, home is where we're at. Home is where my wife is at. Home is where we're camped for the season. But I'm getting a longing. If you hear this week that Pastor Bill has passed, it's always possible. Don't feel like you need to grieve. I'm going home. I miss many of those that we have said goodbye to in this church family over the last few years especially. I miss them. Miss seeing them and miss fellowshipping with them. Your mom and dad. I got an appointment. Can't write it down on my calendar because I'm not sure exactly which day it's going to happen, but I have an appointment. I'm going to where my Jesus is. And I'm going to find all these people. My dad will be there. My grandparents will be there. What a day. If you don't like this message, that's okay. I love you anyway. You need Jesus. You may be playing the church game and have a lot of people fooled. It's not the church game that's going to get you into heaven or change your life. It's going to be knowing Jesus. Would you bow your head? Do you know Jesus as the Savior of your life? Do you know Jesus, the life giver? That if your heart stops, your breathing stops today, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're going to be right there in his presence because his life is your life.